everyone. I'm going to call the meeting of the House Committee on Rules to order for Thursday, February 9th. I'm going to open a work session for introduction of committee measures. Representative McLean.
Can I see the bill?
And I will make the disclaimer right now, when you vote for the introduction of an LC, it does not mean that you support the underlying bill.
Darn.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I know that Representative Holdy wanted to do the honors.
For you, yes. Madam Chair, I move the following LC be introduced as a committee measure. LC 3613, dated
2-8.
2-8-2017.
Mm-hmm. Representative Holby moves LC 3613 be introduced as a committee measure. Any discussion? Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As we do know in the Rules Committee and others, that a vote to bring a discussion on a bill by having it be a committee bill is, of course, not an endorsement of the bill or a affirmative. But we're just putting that on the record because of that. Well, I think in the end, the Rules Committee is where controversial bills come to receive rigorous debate. And so in that regard, good folks can disagree.
That is absolutely right. Thank you, Representative McLean. Any other discussion? Thanks. Is there any objection? All right. LC is introduced. I'm going to close the work session. I'm going to open an informational meeting for an overview of public records. So, committee members, we have a slew of public records bills floating through this building, both on our side and the Senate side. We have bills for around exemptions, retention schedules, fee determinations, what happens with public records created via social media. The Senate has bills from the Office of the Governor and from our Attorney General. So before we look at specific legislation, the intent of today's hearing is to have an overview of public records, learn about our retention and archival process, and listen to the Governor's office about what her proposals are, as well as the Attorney General. Dexter is watching this from his office. He will answer any and all questions we have, so he will come down here if people have questions. So with that, I'm going to call up Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum and Michael Crone, Special Counsel to the Attorney General, to kick us off.
Good afternoon, Chair Williamson, Vice Chairs McLean and Rayfield. Thank you for inviting us here today to discuss the Oregon Public Records Law. Transparency in government is an issue that I have cared deeply about for many years. As a law student representing the Oregon State Public Interest Research Group back in the 70s, and then as a young lawyer shortly thereafter representing the ACLU, I developed a lasting appreciation for the importance of public access to government. And by the way, that's when the public records law was passed. So many, many years ago, we won't count. As a lawyer, prosecutor, a judge, and now as Attorney General, I have always had great faith in the institutions of democratic government. But their strength depends on public trust. And public faith in government institutions can be quickly eroded when our citizens don't feel like they have access to the work their government is doing and cannot receive prompt answers to reasonable questions. Problems with access to public records have featured heavily in a number of high-profile controversies, and our governor, Kate Brown, made improving transparency one of the first pledges of her new administration. The benefits of a robust public records system, which favors transparency whenever possible, are enormous. Public records disclosures have shed light on the performance of various state tax credit programs, the extent of crude oil shipments by rail across Oregon, lead contamination in our water, and myriad other subjects of profound interest to Oregonians. Before you conclude that these reflect great success stories of our law in action, however, You should know in each of the cases that I am thinking about here, my office ultimately had to step in and order a public agency to take steps to comply with the public records law. And those are hardly the only cases where that has been true. That is not to say that I am unsympathetic to some very real difficulties that government entities face under the public records law. I am very much aware that this law was written in 1973, when our workplaces did not have nearly the volume of electronic records that public bodies must deal with today. And I'm also well aware that the changes made to the law since 1973 have consisted almost entirely of creation of hundreds of additional exemptions, each working to make a new kind of record unavailable to the public. Sometimes this is appropriate. Many of you have worked with me in this building, know that I'm a staunch advocate for personal privacy, and our government necessarily collects a lot of sensitive information about individuals. Public bodies have custody of student records of young people in our schools and universities, tax returns from wage earners in the state, financial information from recipients of public benefits, health information about patients, and other things that similarly deserve protection. The need to safeguard sensitive information combined with the volume of records in a contemporary workplace can make responding to public records requests even more difficult. But sadly, there are other reasons why disclosure of public records can be resisted by public bodies. It can be uncomfortable to disclose records related to a program that has not succeeded, for example. Leaders may face difficult questions about their engagement, their choices, or even the actions of their subordinates. Or they may be annoyed by a requester who seems inordinately interested in their activities for no discernible reason. Responding to public records requests can be expensive, time-intensive, and laborious, pulling individuals away from other very important tasks. This can be particularly true in our smaller cities, counties, and agencies. It is not always easy to embrace the principles of open government. But even though it can be hard, tough questions and interested constituents are simply part of the deal when it comes to running a democratic government. When I decided to take up the issue of public records reform, I knew that success would require hearing from stakeholders on all sides of the issue. So I decided to create what is now called the Attorney General's Public Records Task Force. I wanted this group to be bipartisan and bicameral from day one. I'm therefore especially grateful to my legislative task force members, Senators Lee Beyer and Jeff Cruz, and Representatives John Huffman and Ken Helm, for their time, their energy, and their proven commitment to this work. We also have members representing the Oregon newspaper publishers. That would be Jeb Bledin, who's here today, the publisher of the McMinnville Register. The Society of Professional Journalists, represented by former Oregonian investigative reporter Les Zeitz until his recent retirement, and now by Nick Budnick of the Portland Tribune. And the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, represented by Keith Shipman. Governor Brown's recently appointed government accountability attorney Emily Matizar represents the governor's office on the task force. We have reached out to Secretary Richardson's office to replace former Deputy Secretary of State Robert Taylor, who served on the group through the end of last year. Phil Lemon and Josh Nasby took turns representing the Judicial Department. And Michael Crone, my special counsel, has chaired the group with me. On the local government side, the cities, special districts, and counties have been represented by Scott Winkles, Mark Landauer, and Rob Bavette, respectively. And Mr. Bavette is also here to speak today. Finally, Osberg's Jesse Ellis O'Brien and Betty Reynolds, who has also joined us today in presenting, have represented non-media public interests in the task force's meetings. This task force has been meeting for more than a year now. In addition to a regular meeting each month, we have held four public comment sessions around the state in Salem, Eugene, Portland, and Bend. I've been really happy with the progress the group has made toward consensus reforms on a number of important issues under the public records law. Senate Bill 481, the product of the deliberation of this task force, proposes meaningful changes in three key areas. First, Senate Bill 481 addresses the amount of time public bodies have to respond to a records request. Current law has vague requirements that public bodies provide proper and reasonable access to records. This has led to drastic variation in response times across the state. Senate Bill 481 requires a public body to acknowledge the receipt of a public records request within 5 business days, as soon as reasonably possible, but no later than 10 business days later, the public body must either furnish the requested records or provide a written statement to the requester explaining why the public body needs additional time to process the request and providing a reasonable estimate of when the public records will be furnished. This bill includes important safety valves for our smaller offices, making clear that responding to a public records request should not impair the other necessary functions of that office by creating a staffing crisis. Second, Senate Bill 481 encourages a culture of transparent government by making a very strong policy statement in favor of Oregonians' access to their government and its records. Our public meetings law has a very strong policy statement that describes its purpose, to make sure that Oregonians are aware of government decisions and the reasons for those decisions. This robust legislative message will help the judiciary honor our commitment to transparency whenever possible. Senate Bill 481 also encourages governments to embrace transparency by protecting government bodies and government employees when they disclose records. The bill creates immunity from suit when the government discloses information in a good faith attempt to comply with our disclosure laws. And it provides that any privileged information accidentally disclosed by a public body remains privileged so that it can't be used in court. Privileged information generally does not have to be disclosed, but disclosure can certainly happen when large public records requests ask for hundreds, thousands, or even hundreds of thousands of documents. Third, Senate Bill 481 begins to address the huge amount of exemptions that have accumulated within our statute since 1973. When the public records law was initially enacted, it contained 55 exemptions from public disclosure. Now there are more than 500. Our task force convened a subgroup to look at this issue. After extensive debate, we realized that assessing the need for so many exemptions is a task most appropriately left to the legislative branch. But we believe that we can help the legislature start to address that issue by creating a comprehensive, user-friendly, electronic catalog of exemptions. Under Senate Bill 481, my office would be responsible for putting this catalog together, including not only the text of the various exemptions, but references to appellate court decisions and other guidance, along with a description of the kinds of public bodies and issues that a given exemption is likely to involve. Not only should this facilitate considered legislative review of these exemptions, but will provide a useful resource to members of the public and representatives of government in addressing their own public records issues. As I'm sure you know, we already have a public records manual that is widely used that my office is responsible for updating every 2 years after the major session. I'm very proud of the suggestions that my office has developed with the guidance of the Public Records Law Reform Task Force. I recognize that there is more work to be done. Our task force heard a number of complaints about the sometimes high costs of obtaining public records, and that is an issue I expect the task force to take up after this legislative session. One of the issues that seems to drive costs and delays is the fact that our electronic systems, especially email, result in the creation of so many public records that they become very difficult to manage. I believe that problem can only be mitigated if we start building our future electronic systems with public access in mind. I like to refer to it as transparency by design. The governor's office has also introduced legislation proposing a public records advocate. A trusted, independent advocate is an idea that the members of this task force uniformly endorsed as a way to help avoid misunderstandings and lower costs for both government and public records requesters. My office and other stakeholders are committed to working with the governor's office to ensure that we get the final bill right and commend her for her leadership on this. And of course, we're more than willing to provide whatever assistance we can as the legislature thinks about how to address the almost 45 years worth of disclosure exemptions that our law has accumulated. Given that it has taken 4 decades to get to this point, and I was in law school at the time, I hope it is not too surprising that Senate Bill 481 does not try to solve every problem at once. And it is my hope that this task force will continue our work and bring further proposals to your consideration in the future. But I firmly believe the bill makes a great start toward improving Oregonians' access to their government. At this point, we'd be happy to answer your questions, or perhaps you'd like to move on to the other speakers.
Representative McLean.
Thank you. General Rosenblum, I appreciate your work on the task force, and we look forward to seeing the bills. The Willamette Week came out with an article critical of the Attorney General's Office and Transparency recently in a case, I believe you know the what I'm referring to.
Oh, I don't read that newspaper.
Let me help
that
you.
That was a joke, Representative McClain, Chair Williamson.
It was a Judge Claudia Burton, I think, came
yes.
out with an order.
Yes.
And obviously pretty critical of your office and disclosure of public records. So maybe the timing was just sadly ironic, but nevertheless, as we move forward, the credibility of our government in its current matters become pretty important when we consider what changes are necessary. So have you remedied in your office what gave rise to such a critical opinion by a circuit judge?
Chair Williamson, Vice Chair McClain, Vice Chair Rayfield. It's not a question, in my view, of remedying that particular situation. I have to be honest with you. I actually haven't read that article because I was out of town when it came out. However, I'm very familiar with the judge's ruling, and I highly respect Judge Burton. She's a wonderful judge. But you also, I believe, will recall that there was a case that came down after my office gave the advice in that matter that may have kind of changed the landscape in that particular area. And when that happens, obviously we have, I guess you could say, yes, we have responded because we will comply with the law as the more recent case law has developed. But, you know, case law is the way our court and judicial system works. And so we will do everything in our power, of course, to comply with those cases. But that case didn't exist when we gave that original advice.
All right. Well, thank you. And I do read Willamette Week.
Great.
And for what it's worth, it's very interesting. And I think Jaques is a good reporter. But, obviously the timing of it in our consideration, I think the public's, this is indicative that the public is interested in it. And, they're, we're all under a microscope. And so it'd be good if we don't have any more stories like this, but.
Representative McClain, perhaps you'll need to talk to the judiciary as well, because as I said, this particular instance was due to some subsequent case law that came down, but we certainly will do everything in our power to comply with the law as we do, and I have discussed that particular matter with my staff to ensure that we are on top of it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right, thank you very much. If I could have the remaining members of the task force come on down, Rob Bobet, Jeb Bladine, and Betty Reynolds. And just remember to identify yourself for the record. Thank you. In whichever order you would like.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
Okay. Madam Chairman, Vice Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, my name is Jeb Bladine. I'm a publisher of the News Register in McMinnville, and I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Newspaper Publishers Association as the association's representative on the AG Task Force. By way of very quick background, I watched the Watergate hearings after work on television and was editor when this law was created in 1974. I still have that law on file at my office with its 55 exemptions. Communicated on and testified often on almost all 500 of the exemptions that have happened since then, and was a member of the Attorney General Kroger's work group that dealt with public records some years back, and have been a member of this AG's task force the last couple of years. From the standpoint of ONPA, this is going to go off. I forgot to, my apologies. Now it won't. From the standpoint of ONPA, we accept small steps on public records. We've watched this huge onslaught of exemptions grow over 40 years. We've seen all of the problems. We've seen the difficulty of trying to deal with a huge bill and watched it die from all of the weight a few years back. So we accept small steps with 481 and some significant things done and the very important response time issue addressed. We accept action on public records without fully tackling all these exemptions and fees, with the concern that by the time we got towards the end of the session, again, we could see a bill that simply died under the weight of all of this. There's a lot of interests and a lot of conflicting interests and a lot of discussion to be had about various details. So as a newspaper association, and we're an association of members that deal with public records as much as anyone, we accept the premise of Senate Bill 481 under the understanding that this is a first step of an ongoing process, which we expect to take several years and multiple sessions to really resolve the many important issues of Oregon public records. And finally, we as an association strongly support the concept of the governor's public advocates bill. There's going to be a lot of discussion about different, you know, how this might happen, but we, as well as, in my opinion, most of the members of the AGIA committee task force, you know, support having a function of that nature that will help resolve some of the very difficult public records conflicts that can be actually resolved easily rather than going to district attorney, attorney general, courts, and so forth. So there's going to be a lot of talk about that bill over the course of this session, we believe, and I want to say that we hope that comes out of this legislature in a good shape in some form or another. Thank you.
Betty. So, good afternoon, Chair Williamson.
Could you scoot the mic
members
closer to you? Just I want to make sure we get you. There you go.
Good afternoon, Chair Williamson and members of the committee. I'm Betty Reynolds. I'm the public member of the Attorney General's Public Records Law Reform Task Force. With a PhD in public administration and policy, and having served 11 years as executive director of the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, I deeply value openness and transparency in government in Oregon's long history of public records and meetings in ORS Chapter 192. But because of that long history, the number of exemptions have become unwieldy and compliance has become more complex. I believe the Attorney General has shown leadership in tackling this difficult challenge of streamlining the laws while preserving the openness and transparency of the original laws. She convened a group with diverse perspectives, and along with Assistant Attorney General Michael Crone, they assured a very collaborative process, and they showed a great deal of respect in acknowledging those various perspectives. She also provided ample opportunity for public input, convening a number of hearings throughout the state and accepting comments, which are part of the task force's records. So we worked hard to come up with proposals that streamline the laws and improve the process, especially in this digital age, improve timeliness and provide tools such as the digital database, the catalog of exemptions that the Attorney General mentioned, and improve compliance, all the while preserving the original intent. The work is not complete, but I'm hopeful that you view the proposals favorably as the result of an open and collaborative process to improve the laws that are so essential to preserving the public's access to government. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you for serving. Rob.
Chair Williamson, members of the committee, for the record, Rob Avett, legal counsel for the Association of Oregon Counties. So for the last 25 years, I've been a county lawyer, and I've handled lots of issues under the Oregon public records law. Interestingly enough, during that same time, I've also been a special prosecutor for those 25 years with the Lincoln County District Attorney's Office, which has meant that I've handled, I think, virtually all, if not all, of the public records review orders issued by the District Attorney's Office in Lincoln County, directing other public agencies to release or not release records based on those appeals. So I got a long history with these statutes. I'm not going to repeat anything that you've already heard other than one thing. I will say that I would ditto everything you've heard from the four prior speakers. This particular process that the Attorney General has convened has been really productive from my perspective, because we're hearing a whole lot of diverse opinions and all the sticky wicket issues that have tied up efforts to do public records reform in the past, we're tackling them head on. We're just talking about them. So what you will hopefully have in front of you sometime this session is, in fact, Senate Bill 381 and the Senate Bill 106 in tuned-up form. So maybe we can get all of the hard work done before you get to see these bills. That will be the goal, and I know that both the Attorney General and the Governor are committed to continuing some stakeholder meetings to kind of sort out some of those issues and get maybe more perfect bills to you. So the only thing I would add that probably hasn't been discussed is another bill, and I'm just going to throw this out there, that's probably not ready for prime time. In fact, it's not really ready for prime time, but it's fascinating to me. Representative Huffman put it in. And one of the things we've struggled with at the task force are these 500 exemptions that have crawled into the statutes over the last 40-plus years. And the struggle we have as the task force is behind each of those exemptions is a particular constituency, somebody that needs protected records for some reason or other. And they're not on the task force because the task force doesn't have 500 people on it. So it's really hard for us to review them. Representative Huffman put in an interesting bill that kind of calls for almost what you all do with tax deductions, sunsetting them and requiring periodic review of them occasionally to see if they still need to stay in law. Fascinating. And he's on our task force, too, as he's been doing a lot of deep thinking about it. Now, my take on it is we need to let the Attorney General do her work first and catalog all these darn things that she'll be doing under Senate Bill 381, and then we can get to the hard work of figuring out how we would do that. If we threw all 500 exemptions at you with a sunset over even two sessions, I think we would overwhelm you. So we have to figure out a way to analyze these things in a logical and coherent fashion. And I agree with what Jeb said. You know, this is a 106 and 481 are a good start on really updating and modernizing Oregon public records law, something that's needed to be done. Just think about the public records that we have today and compare them to what we all know they look like in 1973. We are in a different universe, and we are definitely in need of modernization. And with that, I will be quiet and take any questions you might have.
Questions for the panel. All right. No, thank you again for your service. And I'm sure we will be back, Rob, to talk about Representative Huffman's bill. Not this session, at some time in the near future. I'm very interested in that concept. So thank you all very much. Thank you. Now I want to invite up Emily Matizar so we can hear from the governor's office. Thank you.
Chair Williamson, vice chairs, members of the committee, thank you for having me here today. My name is Emily Matizar, and I'm the government accountability attorney in the governor's office. As mentioned, I also represent the governor's office on the Attorney General's Public Records Law Reform Task Force. As Attorney General noted, one of Governor Brown's leading priorities is improving state government accountability and transparency. Governor Brown believes in a state government that is open, accessible, and accountable to its people. I'm going to offer a brief history, with which I'm sure most of you are familiar, of what led to Senate Bill 106 before I give an overview of the bill itself. Upon taking office in February 2015, the governor offered a package of bills relating to ethics and governmental accountability to the Legislative Assembly, including Senate Bill 9. Senate Bill 9 mandated that an audit of state agencies' responses to public records requests be conducted, specifically addressing cost, timeliness, and procedures. The legislature approved Senate Bill 9, and the governor signed it into law on June 15, 2015. In November 2015, the Secretary of State's Audit Division released the results of its audit in a report titled, State Agencies Respond Well to Routine Public Records Requests, but Struggle with Complex Requests and Emerging Technologies. The audit made wide-ranging recommendations on public records practices in state government, including ensuring every agency creates public records policies and procedures and adopts tools to manage records retention and records requests, setting standard statewide rates for labor and copying costs in responding to public records requests, providing agencies with guidance on communication technologies, specifically email, text messages, instant messages, and social media, and creating a neutral third party to mediate public records disputes between requesters and agencies. In January 2016, the governor signed Executive Order Number 1606, which ordered DAS to work with the governor's office to implement many of the audit's recommendations. Satisfying the first directive, by October 2016, every single state agency developed and adopted a compliant public records management policy. This week, DAS will implement a statewide standardized fee structure to standardize both costs of requests and the grant of fee waivers. In addition, the governor's office, DAS, agencies, and the Secretary of State's Archives Division are coordinating to vet, select, and implement a records management system to be used enterprise-wide. But the reality is that there is still much more we can do. Governor Brown believes there are many improvements that can still be made at both the state and local levels. Senate Bill 106 would be a significant step towards making such improvements. Senate Bill 106 creates the Office of the Public Records Advocate, whose core mission is to improve the way public bodies respond to public records requests. The advocate will serve government bodies, requesters, and the public at large by 1, providing education and training on topics related to public records, 2, mediating disputes between public bodies and requesters on the most common public records disagreements, such as the scope of the request, cost to produce, and denials of fee waivers, and 3, providing guidance and advice on public records topics by issuing advisory opinions. Senate Bill 106 also creates the Public Records Advisory Council, which will meet regularly to review public records practices and procedures and make recommendations to the governor and legislative assembly. We are still working with stakeholders, including those who testified today. There's always more work to be done to create a truly open, accessible, and accountable government, but the governor believes that these changes represent a significant step forward. Thank you. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Questions? No, thank you very much. Mary Beth Herker, our state archives. We did this in a little bit of a backwards order, so if you want to give us an overview, that'd be great.
Okay, good afternoon, Chair Williamson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mary Beth Herkert, and I am the director of the Secretary of State's Archives Division. I am here today to explain the Archives Division role in managing all public records and providing access to the permanently valuable records of Oregon's government. Our part of the public records law addresses retention and disposition and was originally written in 1961. A major change to the definition of public records was introduced and passed in 2011 so that we could deal with the newer technologies such as cloud computing and social media. The Archives Division began operations in 1947 to house and provide access to the permanently valuable records of Oregon's government and to authorize the disposition of public records from all of Oregon's governmental entities. The work that the Archives Division performs centers around making government information accessible, ensuring that it is managed in the most efficient manner possible, and that states' historical records are preserved. Today, the Archives Division is the state's information broker and information manager, and we strive to make as much government information available to the public, whether by accessing this information in a traditional manner, looking at physically the records at the Archives Building, or by using our website to access the ever-growing amount of information and records added on a daily basis. In addition, the division works with every state agency and political subdivision to help them manage the information, their public records that they create, regardless of its format, from creation until final disposition, helping to ensure the citizens of Oregon that their government is open and accountable. The process for managing records begins with our records management unit. This unit serves as the state's information manager and provides the nearly 3,000 plus state agencies and political subdivisions with advice and assistance, training, records retention schedules, technology standards, and a statewide electronic records management system for all of Oregon government to use. Our goal is to have state agencies only keep information for as long as it's necessary to conduct the public's business and to keep that information accessible to the public from creation until final disposition. In the paper world, managing for retention and disposition was a daunting task, usually assigned to the lowest level or newest employee. And the big advantage with paper with regards to retention was that once the paper began to physically overtake the workspace, records were gone through and destroyed according to the records retention schedule. However, managing electronic records continues to be problematic and costly for the state, not only from a storage standpoint, but from a legal one as well. Many agencies still use the manual processes that they use for paper and still tend to have the lowest level, newest employee do this task. Since electronic records cannot be seen and the storage is cheap myth prevails, our servers and data centers resemble episodes of Hoarding Buried Alive, making access to and the management of public records extremely difficult, if not impossible. Add to that the newer technologies that allow us to reach wider audiences but were never intended to be captured, such as social media and texting, make the job of managing information, much less accessing it, more difficult. Since 2011, the Archives Division has been offering all agencies at all levels of government an opportunity to manage and access their electronic records in the Oregon Records Management Solution. The Oregon Records Management Solution is a software-as-a-service solution where the Archives Records Management Unit provides the implementation, integration, and training of the software to agencies wanting to participate, while our private partner, Chefs Consulting in Baker City, Oregon, operates the hardware software, which is HPRM and electronic records management software, and help desk in a private government cloud. The agencies using this solution have seen greater access to their information either through the web portal that provides free public access to readily published information, such as city council minutes, where employees can search the database for records and in seconds have search results for the requester, and for the first time be able to destroy electronic records according to the records retention schedules that have been authorized by the state archivist, freeing up valuable server space and making the remaining records more accessible. Currently, we have 14 state agencies in varying stages of implementation and over 40 political subdivisions using ORMS. In addition to the above, agencies rely on records managers to interpret and explain new laws and federal mandates as to how these laws may affect their records and ultimate disposition, and to find solutions to allow them to use new technologies without jeopardizing retention and disposition requirements. The other part of the archives mandate is to preserve and provide access to the permanently valuable records of Oregon's government. The records managers and archivists rely on their professional training to not only identify Oregon's historical records while working with an agency, but to ensure that they are transferred to the archives and preserved and made accessible as well. The Archives Reference Unit acts as the state's information broker by providing access to the permanent records of Oregon's government, including the original state constitution, and by directing the public to the proper agency for records that are more current. Our customer base is diverse, and so are the records that they access. We have developed numerous indices and finding aids to help patrons access the records of Oregon government, including the Early Oregonians Database, County Historical Records Guide, and an offshoot to the Oregon Records Management Solution, a web portal called WebDrawer that allows patrons to readily access such things as audio minutes and exhibits from the legislature. Reference services are driven by demand for information, which is a combination of need and awareness of available services. We create demand by showcasing our holdings on the web. In 1993, the last year that the archives did not have a web presence, we fulfilled almost 7,000 requests. The only way people knew what we had or how to get it was by word of mouth or knowledge of what an archives was or did. In 2014, after 20 years on the web, we had over 315,000 requests, with 96% of those accessed and answered with information and records readily available on the web. The other 4% represents the close to 11,000 requests that were answered by reference staff, nearly 4,000 more requests than made in 1993. Clearly, the more records that we can make accessible, the more that information will be accessed and used. The Archives Division will continue to work with the Governor, Attorney General, legislatures, state agencies, and political subdivisions to ensure that we can manage public records from creation until final disposition and preserve and provide access to Oregon's permanently valuable public records. Thank you, and I will be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you very much. Questions? All right, thank you, and thank you for the work that you do. All right. We are done unless there are any other questions. Rob knows.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I see that we have Senate Bill 481. It's obviously in the Senate. It's not here to us. Are we going to be doing any work on this topic in this committee, or are we going to sort of wait for the Senate to take a stab at it, and then we'll see what we get? Or I'm just kind of curious about how you're thinking we're going to proceed with this.
We do have in our possession as a committee, we have a number of bills on this topic. We wanted to have an overview first to kind of see how the pieces fit together and how the Senate also moves bills, so we're not necessarily complicating things. So we wanted to have this hearing first, get a sense from the committee where they were at with concepts, and move forward from there.
Okay. So we have bills from our own chamber that we're going to be doing
on this
topic.
On various aspects of this topic.
The work of the work group is codified in Senate Bill 481 and then in the governor's proposal for Senate Bill 106. Thank you.
And that the governor's will go to Ways and Means.
Okay.
Representative Holby.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was wondering if I could ask Attorney General Rosenblum to come back up for a question.
If she's willing. You want to come on up?
Yeah, bring my sidekick with me, if that's all right. Especially since he didn't get to talk yet.
A man can hope.
Thank you for being willing. I'll preface my question with, you know, I don't know everything there is to know about public records. But I have been frustrated on both sides of the public records world at sometimes seeming that I can't get public records because an agency makes it almost impossible for me as a member of the public to get access to those because of exorbitant costs, or, you know, the whole thing seems to be redacted when I do get it. And the cost issue that was mentioned by the the representative from the governor's office is one that I think is really important, because it can be used as a tool to stop somebody from getting a public record because it becomes so expensive. But then on the flip side of that, you know, I've gotten public records requests, or I know some people have gotten public records requests that just seem so expansive that it would take all of my time or all of my staff's time to actually answer that. For instance, public records request to every communication I've had on every bill that I worked on, you know, something like that. And so you get some of those sort of somewhat frivolous requests, and so and then you get some sort of arbitrary costs on the other hand. And so I really applaud the idea of having some sort of standardized system to address those issues and determining, you know, and I know there's a process you can go through to weed out the frivolous request, you know, by asking back a question, what do you really want? Did your task force entertain those issues and how to balance that?
Right. Chair Williamson, Representative Holvey, we did talk quite a bit about the cost factors. And I want to commend the governor for convening the group that Ms. Matizar spoke about, and on which I believe Michael Crone here is serving. So that would address state agency cost issues to a certain degree. And I was very pleased that that was kind of parallel to the work that we were doing. Once we decided that we were going to not put it aside forever, but for the moment at least, table including the cost issues directly in our proposed bill, primarily because, quite honestly, as I think you're aware, my predecessor, as well as a prior Secretary of State, Phil Kiesling, both have made efforts to present fairly large, we used to call it a telephone book, I don't know how many people have those anymore, but that's how thick my predecessor's proposed bill was, and it didn't go anywhere. And I think what we decided is to try to take this one piece at a time. I am anxious to continue with your blessing to work with you and also to continue my task force on the specific issue of costs. Michael works day in and day out with the state agencies, and I know that, and he can speak to this, but I know that one of the things that we do regularly in our office when we address requests that seem perhaps overly broad is to go directly to the requester and say, hey, not that we believe it's frivolous, but just that we believe it may be overly broad and that it may be more expensive than it needs to be for what the need is. Perhaps some segment of the request could be addressed initially, and then depending on what is provided and you know what the requester needs, perhaps then come back for more. There are ways to work, and this is one of the things that an advocate could do, and that's why we support the governor's concept of a public records advocate, could work early on with the requester in a kind of a opportunity to get that request narrowed down, and then also to mediate with the parties so that it may never even come to the attorney general or to the district attorney. It can be resolved earlier on, which will make it less expensive. Do you want to add anything?
I guess if I could, may I
ask Mr. Crone to also respond?
Yes, if he identifies himself for the record, yes.
Michael Crone, for the record. Chair Williamson, Vice Chairs McLean and Rayfield, and Representative Holvey. I think that the Attorney General is absolutely right when she says that we have intentionally taken this a piece at a time. But one of the things we heard a lot about is the resource allocation issue that a public records request can sometimes entail. And I think, to be perfectly honest with you, I think that all members of the task force are very cognizant of the fact that we don't want to turn our state agencies and our local governments into basically public records production systems. The current law has some ways of addressing it. There's a fee waiver that's available if your request is in the public interest. As the Attorney General mentioned, often our office will use that to work with requesters, for example, in our criminal justice investigations. If you know there's high public interest in a case, which oftentimes there is, we'll get requests from people who don't really know what our records consist of. They want everything related to a matter. That can actually be burdensome, but we have very handy records that tend to collate all of the actually useful information that we considered in making our decision into investigative reports. There may be interview transcripts. So one of the approaches we use is to direct people to those things that we can provide at no cost. And then if they ask for follow-up and can make a good case for, you know, why some additional information is in the public interest, then of course we'll consider that too. And I definitely encourage agencies to take a similar approach. But I think the concerns over costs are definitely ones that the task force is aware of, the Attorney General's office obviously aware of. And I think there is more to be done than just these kind of piecemeal approaches. We just wanted to check off some wins before we got to that issue.
Further questions? Well, thank you. Thank you all for coming and giving us an overview. With that, I'm going to close our informational hearing. Unless there's any more business for the committee, we will adjourn. We will adjourn.